Judge Harris's ruling in November 2012 threw out six of the claims from the mountain resort. He said the resort had to strictly comply with the terms of its lease. They had to file a notice to extend it 60 days before it expired on April 30th of 2011, and the mountain resort missed that deadline. But mountain resort attorney Alan Sullivan said Thursday that was an administrative mistake at most that did not do any harm. For that, he said, the other side wants to evict them, void the mountain resort's $100 million investment in the ski hill, and harm other parties, including Park City. Sullivan said the punishment doesn't fit the crime. He argued the judge based his previous decision on Utah legal precedents that involve basic landlord-tenant disputes. If a tenant in a commercial building fails to comply with a lease, the landlord can simply evict them and find another tenant. But Sullivan said this case is more complicated because while Talisker holds the ski mountain, the vital base of the mountain resort is held by different ownership, Greater Park City Company, and its allied businesses. He said as long as the ski mountain and the base are different owners but joined at the hip, Talisker's prospective new tenant, Vail Resorts, can't just move in and run the resort. He said that complicated deal goes back to 1975, when the leases were set up because the ski mountain landlord, then just known as United Park City Mines, was in a financial bind. At that time, Greater Park City Company faced bankruptcy due to the debts owed to three banks and other creditors. United Park, then a major shareholder in Greater Park, guaranteed that debt. Sullivan said the creditors agreed to forgive the debt by taking over Greater Park's interest. They took over the mountain lease as the company Greater Park, Inc., and the resort base as a company called Park Properties, Inc., or PPI. All the parties, Sullivan said, contemplated the lease would run until 2051.
United Park City Mines Company's creditors, which formed Greater Park, Greater Properties, Inc., and PPI, in 1975, bargained for and insisted upon a revenue stream through 2051 as the means to recoup the millions of dollars in debt for which United Park City Mines Company was on the hook until 1975. It is more complicated because United Park City Mines Company itself bargained for a deal in which the creditors were to receive the lion's share of the rent and to own a strategic parcel of property, the PPI property, without which the leasehold would be virtually worthless.
He alleged that later, in 2007, Talisker promised Park City Municipal that the area would be an integrated, joined-at-the-hip ski resort in perpetuity. With that promise, he said, Park City annexed the 3,000 acres of Ski Mountain, transferred density from the hill to Empire Pass, which, Sullivan said, enabled the development of the Montage Hotel and millions in profits to Talisker. The agreements were covered under a development agreement the city approved for the mountain resort in 1998. In summary, Sullivan said, because of an honest mistake by the mountain resort, several parties will sustain damage.
The hardship resulting from the forfeiture would far outweigh what is a non-existent prejudice to Talisker or Vail from a 62-day delay. We're talking about hardship to the public, to PPI, to GPI, and to GPCC. On the other hand, what Vail hopes to obtain in this case is a totally unexpected and unearned windfall in a situation where everyone concerned with the property for a decade, more than a decade, has operated on the assumption that the leases would not expire until 2051.
By the way, Judge Harris asked what became of the creditor companies, GPI and PPI. Sullivan said they were purchased in 2007 by Ian Cumming, the founder of Powder Corporation, the parent company of the mountain resort. In rebuttal, Talisker attorney Howard Shapiro said if the lease expires, the only party that suffers will be the mountain resort.
The harm which plaintiffs understandably seek to avoid is to themselves. They have negligently slaughtered the goose that's been laying their golden eggs for decades. But they have no reason to presume harm to anyone else. As the court knows, and the court referenced, Talisker has contingently released the property to Vail, a preeminent ski resort operator. And the court can take judicial notice, I think, that Vail's business is running ski resorts, not grazing sheep. Despite the ominous threats made by plaintiffs, there's every reason to believe that the land in question will continue to support a vibrant ski area, offering jobs for many employees and economic benefit to the community.
Concerning the Part City agreements, Shapiro said Talisker still has its rights as a landlord preserved. Nothing in the related documents, he said, requires the ski area to be an integrated resort, unquote. And citing other legal cases, he said the mountain resort failed a simple test to maintain its lease. And back in 1975, it did not set up a lease going to 2051.
It was from 1975, two more 20-year extensions, preserving for themselves the option to back out at any time if they determined it was in their interest to do so. And in exchange for that, the only thing they had to do, was provide notice 60 days in advance that they wanted to renew the lease, and they failed to do that. And each of the Utah Supreme Court cases, going back to IXL, make it perfectly clear that that is not to be excused. Even when, as in Geisdorf, the landlord knew that the intention of Mr. Geisdorf was to remain there and to extend the leases, when he didn't, that was not excused.
Talisker attorney Howard Shapiro. Judge Harris took the arguments under advisement. For KPCW, I'm Rick Bruff.